Please turn to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. The song and the sermon have the same title. O little town of Bethlehem. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little town, this place where the birth of Christ took place. To us, a special place. To you, a remarkable place where you sent your son to be born. From this little town, teach us something about ourselves. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Fame. The dictionary says fame is a value estimated by how much applause is offered by the public. Fame has a positive connotation. Fame for bad things is being infamous. Fame can be acquired by people, places, or things. People can be famous for how rich they are or for something they have done, like Thomas Edison. Everybody know who he is? He invented the light bulb. Or how about something they have written, like William Shakespeare? We all know his name. Places can be famous for how spectacular they are, like the Grand Canyon. Anybody ever see the Grand Canyon? I was amazed when I saw it. Or because of something that happened there, everybody knows about Gettysburg. Bethlehem is a famous place. It's famous because of a person that was born there. But if it had not been for that birth, Bethlehem probably wouldn't have had any notice at all. Micah chapter 5 in verse 2 says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little. It's just a little place. Little among the thousands of Judah. Israel was divided in groups of 1,000. Back in Exodus chapter 28, Moses was instructed to select able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands. And it became the standard. Over in Numbers chapter 10, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee 2 trumpets of silver of a whole piece, shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And in verse 4 it says, And if they blow but with 1 trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather together. Sometimes, however, families were so small that they had to be grouped together. As in 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 11, 2 men called Jeush and Beriah had not many sons. And the verse says, Therefore they were 1 reckoning instead of 2. Bethlehem was so small it was not even included in the reckoning of the inheritance of the families of Judah. Back in Joshua chapter 15, it says, This then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families. And in verses 2 through 12, there's a detailed description of the borders all around the territory given to Judah. In verses 13 through 19, Caleb is singled out as a member of the tribe of Judah and given a specific part of that inheritance. And then in verses 20 through 62, 126 towns and villages are named, but not one of them is Bethlehem. Even after the Babylonian captivity over in Ezra chapter 2 and verse 21, the total population of the town of Bethlehem was 123. Tells us that exactly in that verse, Ezra 2:21, children of Bethlehem, 123. Where was Bethlehem located? What was the land like around it? You travel south from Jerusalem about 5 miles. On the east side of the road sits the town on a ridge. It juts out from the main ridge. There's the main ridge, and then the city sits out on a ridge that juts out from that. And from the top of that ridge, there are natural terraces. Not man-made. God made them that way. And the land is very fertile, perfect for grazing sheep. By the time that Jesus came, the sheep that were grazing all around the area of Bethlehem were primarily used for sacrifices in the temple. And very near the town of Bethlehem, the Tower of Edar, it's mentioned in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 21, so it's been there for a very long time. Probably the place where Jesus was born. A round stone barn where the pure lambs were wrapped in swaddling clothes and protected. Bethlehem had a colorful history. Rachel was buried there, Genesis chapter 35 and verse 19. They were traveling towards that area. Before they arrived, she died. They buried her along the road close to Bethlehem. Ruth and Boaz met there. You read the book of Ruth. It says, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. They came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. And David was born there. That's the place where Samuel went to actually anoint David to be the next king. He was a resident of the town of Bethlehem at the time. Little Bethlehem, little among the thousands of Judah. Compared to the rest of Judah, there's nothing to speak of. Somebody asked you where Bethlehem was. Where is Bethlehem? Oh, it's that little place south of Jerusalem. Not much there. No use in going. Oh, today there's a lot of tourism in Bethlehem. But back in that day, there would be no reason for tourists to go to Bethlehem. To Jerusalem, surely. They say the temple was so magnificent and it would light up at night and be brilliant, especially from the top of the hill Gethsemane, across Mount Olivet. Thank you. Mount Olivet. There's a little valley between Mount Olivet and Jerusalem, and people would come from all over the world and stand on top of Mount Olivet and gaze at the city at nighttime. It was just an amazing thing. But Bethlehem? Who would go to Bethlehem? It's the same kind of thing that if a famous person were to come today, we would think they would come from some strategic place like Washington, D.C. But then here he comes from Eaglesmere, Pennsylvania. Everybody knows where Eaglesmere, Pennsylvania is, right? Oh, you do know. Somebody actually knows. Oh, you do too. Oh, I thought I was going to pick some place that nobody ever heard of before. Well, I guess there back in the day there was one or two people that heard of Bethlehem. Oh my. I was going to say it's just south of Cherry Mills. Do you know where that is? Okay. Well, Eagles Mills only has a population of 120 people, about the same size as Bethlehem in the day that Jesus was born. not a place you would expect some famous person to come from. This was the effect of Bethlehem when Jesus was born. Notice in Micah chapter 5 in verse 2, it continues, "Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." The Messiah, not just a king, the king, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, out of this little teeny tiny town that hardly anybody knew about. Oh, it was originally built, intended to be some kind of a fortification as protection for the city of Jerusalem if they were attacked from the south. It was never intended to be an important town. But it says here in this verse, "whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Who is from everlasting? Habakkuk 1:12, just over a couple of pages. Habakkuk 1:12, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction." The Lord my God, is from everlasting. Psalm 93 and verse 1. Psalm 93 verse 1. "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, for thou art from everlasting." So it is the Lord himself that comes to little Bethlehem, Luke chapter 2. It's so familiar, but it is Christmas Day. We have a family tradition. We always read Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2 on Christmas Day. "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." It's kind of curious. Joseph is from the tribe of Judah, but he's living up in Galilee of Nazareth, at Nazareth, not the territory of Judah. There were undoubtedly some unusual circumstances that brought this about. But Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem, verse 5, "to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, we've already identified Bethlehem as a very small little town. But why was there no room for them in the inn? Well, consider how many descendants of David there were that had to travel to Bethlehem at this time. Jesse, David's father, had a total of 8 sons, so there were 7 brothers who would have descendants who had to come to this town. David himself had at least 19 sons. David lived 1,000 years before the events described in Luke chapter 2. How many descendants can 27 different men have after 1,000 years? It could be a lot of people. So you have this little town, no more than a couple of hundred people living in it at the time, mostly shepherds, shepherds' families, suddenly swells to multiple thousands of people. Typically, family members would take in relatives as they came to travel, but there weren't even any rooms left in the relatives' homes. Left to seek a room at the inn. There's nothing there. The only thing they could do was look for a stable. Bethlehem probably had become a tent city with all of the extra people that were there. And even those tents would be crowded. Everyone trying to find some place to shelter at night. They keep walking, trying to find some place, and finally come to the Tower of Edar. Safely kept, prepared for the birth of the Savior. They go in, probably clean out the manger, which was a feeding trough, lay some fresh hay in. Mary lays down on the hay, gives birth to the child, and they lay the child in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, verse 7 of Luke chapter 2. The name Bethlehem means the house of bread. Years later, Jesus would say this, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." How appropriate for the bread of life to be born in the house of bread. Bethlehem enjoys the best kind of fame. It's passive fame because Bethlehem didn't do anything. It was just there. This is the kind of fame we all should desire if we want fame at all. Passive fame. We are all just small creatures, just little ones. Hopefully available to the great ruler to dwell in. So that we need not do anything, simply be here for him to use. Think about it. Who was Joseph? Would we ever know about him if he had not been espoused to Mary? He lived in Nazareth. Who was Mary for that matter? Just a young lady. If it hadn't been for her bearing the Christ child, we would never have heard of her. Who were these shepherds? They remain nameless even after all these years. And all they did was keep sheep. Who were the wise men? Also remaining nameless. I know there are traditional names for them, but there's no proof of any of that. Just nameless men who traveled hundreds of miles, gave some expensive gifts to this little boy, traveled back again, and never to be heard from again. Yet in each one of these people's lives, God used them in the events surrounding Christ's birth. They weren't famous before these events, and most of them remain nameless, but they were glad to be used of God for his glory rather than their own. It is not necessary to be a big somebody to be used of God. I think that's what we should learn from little Bethlehem. Those who are the most useful to God are those who are small in their own eyes. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of God." After all, what did Jesus do? Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he humbled himself. Those exact words are used of him in Philippians chapter 2, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself. Just like Jesus. So here's my simple message for Christmas Day this year. Be a Bethlehem. Be little. And let God use you. For the smaller we are, the larger he will be in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for little Bethlehem and for this message to our hearts. May we all be as Jesus and humble ourselves and let you use us as you will. Not that we be famous, but that we be a place where the famous one, Jesus Christ, may not only dwell, but live out his testimony through us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.